Well, good morning, church. Oh, should we pray? Let's just pray together. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for this week. Lord, in such a strange, odd week, Lord, we want to thank you that you're the center of it all. And Jesus, well, I just want to pray for your Holy Spirit just to flood this place this morning. Lord, I pray that the words that I say, it would just be all of you and none of me, Jesus. Amen. 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 Well, my prayer is this morning that we feel challenged, not condemned, not convicted, but challenged this morning. Please hear my heart and what I feel God's laid in my heart and what I feel right to share this morning. And like Jess has shared already, Jess is a dog walker, and Jess is crazy about dogs. She loves dogs. If you talk to Jess and want to have a bit of an open conversation with her, you know, start with dogs, because she can keep talking about dogs. And basically what her job is, it's a bit like a nursery, but for dogs. So literally people that can't look after their dogs for the whole, drop them with Jess, and her job is to walk them, play with them, do a bit of agility with them, and that is her job, and she's crazy about dogs. Now, for me personally, before I met Jess, I didn't really have any fascination in dogs. I wasn't against dogs. I grew up with a cat, and it's probably a cat person. I never really was interested by dogs at all. And the more and more I got to know Jess, the more I started to realise that my interest in dogs started to grow. So it sounds really silly, but I started to actually really enjoy dogs' companies. And I really enjoyed, just kind of finding out about dogs. And that's never something that I was never really interested in before I met Jess. And even days when I might have a day off, I go to Jess's work because I enjoy it, because I enjoy spending time with dogs. And I never thought that I'd enjoy so much time having dogs. And and I just think, why is that? Because I think the more I fall in love with Jess, the things that matter to her matter to me. And when we fall in love with Jesus and when we love God, the things that matter on his heart should matter to us. They should matter to us. They should be things that are on our vision, on our radar, things that we enjoy, that we love to do. And this morning, if you want a title, it's God Break Our Hearts for What Breaks Yours. And in this world, I'm certain every day, God's heart breaks every single day. You can just look at the news. This week, there was this homeless guy, and he was saying about, I don't know, how cold did it get this week? -3, -4? And he was out on the streets, in the cold, nowhere to go. And you just think, oh, like your just heart just wrenches for that guy. And you just think, God, your heart must break for this man that's homeless and he's got nowhere to go and he's so cold. My heart wants to be in line with God's heart. My heart wants to be in tune with God's heart, and I want it to beat with God's heartbeat. And I want that to be a prayer for us as a church. I'd love us if we could be a church that is in tune with God's heart. And I know it already is, but I want us to be even more in tune with God's heart. And like I say, a lot of things would break God's heart, but one area we're going to look at today is the lost, for those that don't know Jesus. And I'm pretty sure that God's heart breaks for those that don't know Jesus. And we're going to read a parable. And if you'd like to turn to Luke 15:1-7, it's going to come up on the screen. It might be a bit small. I'll read it out. For me, this is one of my favourite parables, and I just love it. I think it's absolutely brilliant. And someone preached it a few months ago and just brought it to life, firstly for me. Of course, I won't do the same thing, but I just think it's brilliant. So let's just read this together. Tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. So Jesus told them this story. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 lovers in the wilderness and go to search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders when he arrives. He will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep." In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. Amen. Amazing. Just amazing. So we're going to look into that a bit more now as we as we look into it. So first of all, I want to ask is, what are the passions on our hearts? I've already kind of spoken about what Jess's passions are with dogs. What are the passions on your hearts? What's the thing that drives you daily? So for me, personally, I've got a real passion for football. I'm a big football fan, and I could talk about football for a very long time because I enjoy football. I enjoy watching it. I enjoy being involved in it. And sometimes I feel God challenges me on where the position, it sounds really silly, but where the position of football lays in my life. And the amount of time that I either spend watching football, or I can check the scores on my phone rather than praying, or the passion that I might have for football, God challenges me sometimes to say, "George, I want that passion you put into football, that passion you put into that, and the interest and the time you invest into that, into me." So what are the passions in your heart, and what are the priorities in our lives? Because the things that we prioritize are the things that we are passionate about. And doesn't mean that football's wrong, it doesn't mean that dogs are wrong, but actually, it's where you're putting them in your life. It's where you're saying, "I'm going to prioritize this, and this is what I'm going to be passionate about, and this is something that I really want to be a part of." And passion is quite a weird emotion. I think as human beings, a lot of emotions, pretend we're okay, but passion, I think, is something that you cannot act. I think it's something that is a real heartfelt emotion that you can either tell if someone's really passionate about it or they're not passionate about it. So passion is something that comes from that heart. So how do we become passionate for God? That means putting Him first, everything in our lives. Like I say, making Him number one, over football, over dogs, over what it may be for you in your life. Putting Him number one. Spending quality time with Jesus. Every morning or whenever you read your Bible in the evening, spending good quality time with Jesus. Burning that fire in Him, burning that kind of passion in your inside of you, that almost you just kind of want a passion to read more and just to listen to more preachers, to hear more worship music, to kind of have that passion in your heart. For asking God a renewal of the Holy Spirit every morning, saying, "God, will you fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I'm passionate for you, that I can just overflow of your goodness and your love." As a church, like I say, I'd love us to be passionate people, and I know we are. But I want Jesus to be on my lips. I want to be passionate about Jesus. And my prayer is this morning that Jesus is on all of our lips this morning as we leave. I love, as we look into this parable, before Jesus even tells this story, the first line, tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. Now, tax collectors and other notorious sinners, especially tax collectors, were the lowest of the lows. And I love that they were drawn to Jesus. Isn't that interesting how they probably at this time, if they're known as tax collectors or notorious sinners, they may not have been following Jesus at this time, but they were drawn to Him. And if we have the passion of Jesus in our lives, I believe people will be drawn to us. I believe people will be really interested in what we're about and what we do and the way we live. And I think it's so important. And if our passions and our priorities are right, then I believe people will see something different in us. I love Jess's testimony. Apologies if you've heard it, but I just think this is brilliant. And I'm just going to share it now. And Jess kind of grew up in the village. She moved here when she was 5. And she had a family down the road where she lived. And down Coates Drove, lived the family, and they used to come to this church. Is that right? They used to come to this church, didn't they? And they were military, so they're American. So they were a family that moved around a lot. And Jess was always really fascinated by who they were and kind of almost kind of the way they said grace before dinner. the mum always used to write cards to their family, and she always used to write Bible verses at the bottom, and she always used to find it really interesting. And this family moved over to Germany and as part of the military, and the Darleys actually went to go see this family and offered Jess a place and said, "We're going to go see this family. Would you like to come?" And Jess went to Germany to spend time with the Darleys and this family in Germany. And during that time, she noticed something in the Darleys and this family that was something really special. And there was this passion and this kind of thing that was in them that Jess really wanted. And it was so obvious that it was something different to what she had that she had to come and find out about it. So the next Sunday, after she got back from Germany, she came to church, she invited herself here, and Audrey was preaching. The rest is history. And she's a Christian now, of course, and living a life of Jesus. And you just think, how amazing is that? What witnesses we can be if we prioritize Jesus, if we're passionate for Jesus, if there's something in us that draws people to us, that's really cool, isn't it? Isn't that amazing? I mean, I want to see more of that. People are always watching. And I remember someone saying to me, we may be the only Bible people read. They might not pick up a Bible, but actually we might be the biggest witness to them. We need to be living a life like Jesus. And people will be drawn to us because they're fascinated by us. They want to know more about us. Second of all, who are we inviting to our table? And I don't let you mean kind of by to our house. It could be that. But who are we inviting to our table? Who are we witnessing to? And again, before Jesus even goes into this parable, I'll read from 1 to 2. Tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. And that right there, for me, makes a huge statement of what Jesus is like and what demonstration we should follow in after Jesus. Who are we witnessing to? Who are the people that are on our mind as you're thinking? I bet there are people just on your mind right this morning that you're thinking, yeah, they're the people in my life. They're the people in my circle that I'm witnessing to. Who are those people? Identify them. It's a challenge in my life. I feel a bit of a hypocrite this morning because I don't feel like I'm doing this very well. So it's a challenge for me as much as I feel it's a challenge for all of us as a church. Who are we witnessing to? A few of us went to a conference in August, and there was a lady there that was talking about the harvest is coming. The harvest of people is coming. And one thing that she said right at the start of her preach, and that really, really challenged me, and it still does now, was when was the last time you brought someone to know Jesus Christ? And I think, oh, man, that's really challenging. I don't know if I'm the only one here that finds that challenging, but I find that really challenging. I think, God, I want to bring more people to know you, Jesus. That's what I want. And it's a question that we should be asking ourselves daily. When was the last time we brought someone to Jesus? And please, I'm not trying to condemn at all. I'm just trying to maybe challenge and just to think about God's heart on this. What seeds are we sowing into people in our work lives, into the people around us? Are we being good witnesses to the people around us? Jesus welcomed everyone to eat with him, and he welcomes everyone to eat with him. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost." Third, watering the seeds. A lot of people use this phrase of kind of sowing seeds in people. That might be kind of a chat with someone, a prayer with someone. But I find a lot of people think that you sow the seeds and then expect the seeds to grow without anything. Where I think actually we need to be praying daily for salvation for people in our lives. We can't just expect the seeds that we may have planted in people. That could have been a conversation or like a prayer. We can't just expect them to grow. We need to pray into that. We need to pray for their salvation. We need to pray that they will come to know Jesus in their lives, that they will have an encounter with Jesus. And I love in the bit in the parable, if a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for the one that he has lost until he finds it? Until he finds it. It's not he goes to search for the sheep, and he can't find it, and then he returns back to the 99. it's until he finds it. We've got to persevere, and we've got to persevere in prayer for the people that we want to come see Jesus. Without prayer, it's really, really hard work. And I was trying to think about this the other day when I was at home, and what it means to kind of persevere in prayer. And I feel like I'm talking about dogs all morning. It's not right. But we have a dog, and our dog came and sat by my feet, okay? And since day one, she's had this antler. And she just chews and chews this antler, okay? This animal antler. And at one point, I said to Jess, wow, she's really like, she's chewing this antler, like really chewing this antler. And Jess says, yeah, I think she's made a breakthrough. And I thought to myself, wow. I think she's chewed since the day one because she smelt something in that antler. She recognized something was good was coming, so she kept chewing and chewing and chewing, and she was rewarded by it. And it sounds a really weird comparison, but when we pray and persevere with prayer, we keep praying, because we know something's good is going to come out of it. We know something is good is going to come out of it. We're going to keep praying, keep chewing, and breakthrough will come. Breakthrough will come, but we have to persevere in our prayer. I love the story of, you may have heard this, of the guy that set aside his whole life to pray for 100 people. So every day he had a list of 100 people and he prayed for them every day. And in his life, 98 of those people became Christians. And then at his funeral, the other two became Christians and gave his life to Jesus. Let's set a list of people that don't know Jesus and that we would love to come and see them to prayer. Let's set a time time every morning to pray for those people, for them to come to salvation. If we keep chewing, keep praying, then we'll break through. We'll have a breakthrough and they will come to know Jesus, I'm sure of it. And Jesus tells us to pray for those, in Matthew 9. I think this is the one of the verse I gave Richard. Yes, it is. So Matthew 9:35-38, Jesus travelled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He says to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his field." So Jesus tells us that we need to pray for the people that don't know Jesus, to send more workers, into his field and into his mission field. And then lastly, I'm coming to a close. It's gone a lot quicker than I thought, but that's okay. Reaping the harvest. And when, if we go back to the parable, sorry, Richard, thank you. And when he has found it, and that's the sheep, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbours, saying, "Rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep." In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and have strayed away. There is one big party waiting to happen for that one lost sheep. And you know what? Our faith isn't meant to be for the 99. It's meant to be for the one. It's meant to be for the people of Isen walking down the streets and in whatever town you live in. It's for our faith is for them. And we need to be praying and we need to be expecting to reap a harvest. Are we ready to reap that harvest that is coming? Are we ready to reap to take those opportunities that God may give you in your times of life to reap the harvest? And in Matthew 28:19, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." God wants us to chase after those that don't know Jesus and don't know him. And I love that this church, we've got so many opportunities. You know, this morning we've talked about the cafe next week. We've talked about the quiz night. What an amazing things we can just invite people to come along to. We're doing another Alpha in May. Think about who you can invite to Alpha in May. Think about who you can pray and who you can, I don't know, ask God to put someone on your mind that you can just, if it's not Alpha, just anything that you can bring along to anything here at church. God, will you break our hearts for the things that break yours? Amen. Should we stand? I'm just going to ask the guys if that's all right, just to play. We're going to, we're going to sing in a minute. But I just felt there's a few things we just needed to do before we sung. And I actually want to give an opportunity for people who don't know Jesus and who have come here this morning that want to know Jesus personally in their life. You may have been coming to this church for a while, or you may have just come to church this morning, and you are today want to make the decision to follow Jesus for the rest of your life. So before we go any further, let's just pray that right now. So let's just close our eyes, and I'm going to say a short prayer. And if this is something that you feel like you're in a position where you're at, you want to give your life to Jesus today, then just say this prayer in your heart after me, and then we're going to pray for a couple more people. So Jesus, we want to thank you for this day. Lord, I want to recognize you as my Savior. And I'm sorry for all the things that I've done wrong. I'm sorry for the wrong way that I've headed in my life. But today, on the 4th of March, 2018, I want to give my life to you. And Lord, this morning I want to declare that you are my Lord of Lords and that you are my King of Kings, and I want to follow you for the rest of my life. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer this morning, I'd encourage you to come and speak to myself, one of the elders, because the journey has only just started. It's so really exciting, and it's not just going to stop there. It continues and it gets even better. It's really exciting. So come and please speak to us. And there was two groups of people that I just wanted to pray for that I felt would be really great. So the first group of people are people who feel a little bit like they're a bit lukewarm. So they're very, the passion that I was talking about earlier, that you just feel you're a bit tired, you feel a bit exhausted, and you feel like, actually, you know what, George, I don't feel passionate at all because I feel drained. And if that's you, we're going to pray for you in a minute. Keep that in mind. And the second group of people I thought would be really great to pray for is those that have been praying for someone and you are almost a little bit fed up of God, in the sense if you've been praying and nothing's happened, and you're kind of like a dog with the antler and you're chewing and nothing's kind of... You can smell it, you can taste it, but actually you're not getting anywhere. And if that's you, we'd love to pray for you, because I kind of feel God wants to say to you that he's proud of you, that you've kind of persevered with praying. And I just feel God wants just to renew you today. So if you fit into those categories, I'm not going to ask people to come forward. I'm just going to ask, where are you standing right now? If you could just raise a hand where you are, and if you could do it now, and actually we're just going to ask people to pray for you. There's a few hands up. And church, we're a family. So if you look around and see who's put their hands up, and let's pray for those. Let's pray for those people. Let's pray that God ignites that fire in them. So Jesus, I want to pray at you right now, Jesus, that whatever group they fit into, Lord, it doesn't matter, Lord, but Jesus, we just pray for a refreshing of you, Lord, for, just almost just fresh, passionate that lies in them, Jesus. Just fill them with your Holy Spirit, Jesus, that they overflow so much that in this week, that the people that they come into contact with will just see something so infectious in them that they want to come and invite themselves to church the next week. And Lord, for those that have been persevering with prayer, Lord, for it could be their family, their friends, their work colleagues, Jesus, I just pray you'll bless them in your name. Lord, I pray that you will hunger their hearts, Lord, that you will just keep them going, Lord. I pray that they will persevere for them. Let's keep praying for these guys. We're going to sing a song that I feel is really relevant. And let's just make this a prayer for us as a church as we leave this morning.